way, so the signature was real.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. Here we begin with episode 2. As we begin this episode, we will hear all about how the city of Worcester was there to support this project that happened over the summer.
Was there anything that on the city side wise with the city of Worcester, like how was the reception from them, or was there anything that came out of it from on their side of things?
You guys want to talk about what you got in the mail?
Oh, a big, fat, nice bonus check, which I did not anticipate. I got this pin right here. I got a bunch of, like, I got some letters, some certificates, some really good things that I did not anticipate would be coming. Like one day I walked them up to my mailbox. I think I'm just going to get, you know, the usual like, newspaper, the usual college mail that they spam me with. But then I find this big, fat package with Brown Med on it. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I open it, I see a $75 check. I see all these other stuff that I didn't even know I was gonna get. It was a big surprise and I was really grateful to have it. In fact, I have some of it right here. Do I? No, I don't.
So we worked with Karen on getting the city of Worcester involved a little bit so that some certificates of acknowledgement of this contribution of your time and your energy and, you know, clearly, you know, taking the daily risk to come to work in this facility, you know, still being, you know, with the face mask and the face shield on, you know, we doubled up on and social distancing and everything. We did our best to keep everybody, you know, as safe as possible, and we were successful in that. But it really was, you know, in everyone's actions. And so the certificate was just a small way of us saying we appreciated what you guys all did. So And with the city of Worcester, you know, kind of just the recognition and hearing that it felt good. That's all it was intended to do, is to feel good, because I think from us, you know, to you, there wasn't a whole lot after August 21st that we could necessarily do. You know, we go back to our, you know, core business, and you guys are now in school and focusing on that and your futures. But I think ultimately, yeah, Landon, you know, that was the goal, is to make you guys feel like what you did was important, because it was. It is. It's important, I think, for other people and other businesses to see that you can do it if you just, you know, really put your nose to the grindstone and make some positive choices.
Oh, yeah.
But, Karen, yeah. if you could mention the mayor. And the mayor also serves as chair of the school committee for the city. And the city was really, I just want to preface this with the mayor and the city manager every single day talking about the things that the community was doing to help these efforts. And when the mayor heard about this, Karen, maybe you can take it from there.
I can. I have to mention Kylia too. Kylia Garver is the president of Brown Med, and she was involved in all of this and always emailing back and forth with me about things. And when everything was coming to an end, we sort of said, gee, this is a little bit anticlimactic. We had tried to get some guests to come and visit, but with COVID, it just couldn't happen. And when I spoke to Kylia, and they told me that she and Corey had decided to do bonus checks, and then they were also going to provide the students with a notification that they were going to be, a certificate that they had completed their internship. I said, gee, maybe I can reach out and get something from the city. And I've got to tell you, the mayor's office, Mayor Petty, was just all over this. He thought it was the best thing he had ever heard of. We took pictures of him signing all the documents for the kids, the mayoral recognition, and they wanted to include the pin, and they were just so excited about having students from Worcester involved, and that we reached out to them to allow them to recognize all of you who participated.
Wait, so the signature was real?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He signed every one of them. Every
we have
one
a of picture.
That's not yeah. us. That was, yeah.
Yeah. We have a picture of it. We actually did it. We posted it out on our social media for Mass MVP and of the mayor actually sitting and signing your certificate. So, yeah, it's legit.
It meant a lot.
Real deal. Yeah, you can wipe, well, he's a wizard wipe boy. Your finger across it, Landon, and it'll smear, I promise. The smear signature.
Just like a printing press, you know, you just printed it out. Like.
We have a rubber stamp. We have a rubber stamp, Landon, just stamping them and shipping them right out. No. So I'm going to ask the students, obviously, so I think all of you said, I know at least two of you said this was your first job. So being that this was your first job, now when you go out and look for another job, do you think it's going to be hard for you to find something where you're not going to be like, wait, this just is not Brown Med. I just don't know if I can do it. Isla, what do you think?
Well, I really loved just the friends I made there. So that was a really big part of it. I love working with a bunch of other teenagers. So I'm going to miss that when I find another job.
Yeah. You're probably, I mean, obviously it's a great opportunity for where you are in advanced manufacturing and seeing, you know, what you're doing, but hopefully you'll come across something else that's pretty close to the way that this was too. It does exist out there, I promise. It really does. So you will find it again. Yeah. Samantha, how about for you?
So yeah, same. Like I already had, like my friend Taj, she went at Innovation Pathways with me. And so I was really happy to see her there. And then I also made another great friend from that job named Stephanie. And it was really fun meeting like new people and being able to work and get out of the house too.
Yeah, that's a great excuse when you have to be an essential worker. Like, sorry, I just have to go to work.
Yeah, it was really annoying being home for so long, so it helped.
Good, I'm glad. Landon, how about for you?
So I used to work at a movie theater right before the pandemic, right? And so like what we had to do was that for 8 hours a day, 7 hours, 6 hours a day, we just stood up all day long and we like move around the movie theater, just cleaning theaters, right? Your legs hurt a lot by the end of your shift. Believe me, it does. And I'd say that the same thing happens for a lot of other, you know, first-time jobs, which like McDonald's, Burger King, where you have to stand all day. Your legs just kill yourself, like after you're done. But Brown Med, I think what they really did good on that was that the three breaks that we had, two 15-minute breaks and a 30-minute break. I personally, it was a small thing about the job, but I really loved it. Because, you know, it allows yourself to regenerate, to rest. And by the end of your day, your body isn't, like, aching as it would, like, if I was working at the movie theater. So, like, if I ever try to get another job once the pandemic is over, like at McDonald's or maybe my old movie theater, it's, you know, I don't want to do that thing where, you know, where I just stand all day and my legs just kill themselves when I come home. Brown Med did really good with the breaks and stuff. It's a small thing, but I really loved it.
There you go. So you found some solutions in case you run into those problems for the future, right? Maybe learned a couple, you probably all did, learned a couple of different ways. Like we have what we would call the back room. And so Karen knows that I would assume this was pretty good back room, right? Brian, you probably know as well. So you learned some solutions to maybe some problems that came up. So now you can present them at your next jobs and say, hey, I've got some ideas. How about we do this instead of, you know, oh gosh, we have to work and stand the whole time. Now you know a way to hit it head on and just say, what if we try this? Because you've been in a different environment. On the educational side of that then, so Drew and Brian, does this, obviously this was a, I would consider maybe like an out of classroom teaching, you know, experience. Do you take things from this then? And are there things you learned from this that you can now implement actually into the classroom that maybe you didn't think of before or didn't see and thought, wow, you know what? We need to do this in class.
I think Brian's in the best position to answer that question.
Okay. All right. So one thing that was very different that I think I'm going to use more as a teacher is that the students that worked there that became employees became very, and I say this friendly, very competitive. And it was a friendship competitiveness. And I think now to integrate some of that competitiveness into the program, the daytime program in teaching will be beneficial. And you know, obviously where it's going to be beneficial, not, you know, I don't want any students to ever feel like it's a race or anything like that. But just to have some friendly competition with each other was neat. And also, when you're a teacher telling your students, this is the way it is, sometimes they really don't believe you. And I think they went out and they worked and it was like, wow, this really is this way. And so I think they all come back with a different perspective that those teachers that give us a hard time every day, they're really telling the truth that really is the way it is. And one more thing I want to say, Samantha and her friend Taj, she had discussed, I had just said goodbye to them. They were now alumni, Innovation Pathways alumni, the week before, and then before school was closed. So I said goodbye to them. They basically graduated and they were going on to their internships and colleges, and to be able to bring them back, that was a wonderful experience, and to see them actually fulfill and be a part of those internships. I didn't expect that would happen. So, and also to see Samantha take her college work and be working on it during her lunches and breaks, because same thing, it was all virtual for them. So it was neat to see that. And Landon, his future plans, to know about that. Landon, maybe you can mention those. And to have Isla now as a student now for two more years, because she's a junior in the program, what she's going to bring back to her peers for experience during the summer, I think is going to be really important. But Landon, definitely, please do share what you're going to be doing when you graduate, because that was great to hear.
It's a very complex plan that I have laid out. So I enlisted a couple months ago into the U.S. Army, the reserves, right? So I'm going to be serving in the reserves like throughout college, but I'm going to be taking a gap year in between high school and college to, you know, do all the training, do all basic training, go through hell, I guess. So after that's done, I'm going to be going to college. Hopefully I get into a nice one this year. But I think I could use some of the skills that I learned here at Brown Med into, like, you know, maybe my career in the military, career, you know, in college, I guess. So that's my plan after high school.
That's great. Good.
Brian, you shared a lot about the passion that you were really proud of the kids and their dedication and their passion, and some of them had reasons that they wanted to be involved. Can you share that story?
I will. Yeah, this is a pretty touching story. So let me start with one of the students from South High that came. She came on board. After about a week being there, she came up to me and she explained why this job was so important to her. And it was a touching story. It you know, choked me up a little bit to hear this. Her father was contracted COVID, I'm sorry, and was actually in the hospital on a vent, and they didn't think he was going to pull through. You know, all the PPE and the face shields and things like that, that was very personal to her, what she was doing. And so you know, it's just a powerful story to hear how she took this as a personal experience for her, and shared that story with some of her peers, which then took it even more seriously, because it really brought home exactly what we were all doing. This wasn't just, you know, putting some pieces of this and that together. They were making things that were helping to save people's lives and change their lives. So that was a good story, a bittersweet story, I think, to share.
Yeah, what we've spoke a lot, obviously, with manufacturers throughout the pandemic, and the biggest message that we actually have heard from all of them is that the employees of the companies that have stayed essential are extremely proud of what they do, because it was for a purpose. This wasn't, like you were saying, it wasn't the day-to-day mundane of just getting up and going to work. Now they were making something that was serving a purpose. It was slowing the spread of the virus, or maybe in some cases it was helping somebody survive from the virus, whatever it may be, or not to contract the virus. So it became very purposeful for them, and they were extremely proud of their position as to what they did in the companies, in the manufacturers. So if, you know, obviously we're going to have manufacturers that are listening, because that's our primary audience. If they are listening And I know, Corey, you guys were here, you did a little stint with us, but those that are based here and that stay here, Drew, might be this is for you, like, do you have a message for them to get out to them as to how they can get involved with this? Because this isn't just a one-time deal, right? This is something that you're doing constantly. So how can they become involved in this?
Yeah, no, thanks for allowing an opportunity for that. We are constantly looking for partners and opportunities for students. Our whole purpose at Worcester Tech and in Innovation Pathways is to expose students to career pathways, especially in advanced manufacturing. And the best way to do that is to get them some experience in a company, whether it's working remotely on a project, whether it's working on site, but somehow connecting them with the local businesses so they see themselves in, that pathway and that as a viable future for them. So I guess my message is reach out to Karen. She will connect you with us, and we will provide students that will both provide benefit to your company and hopefully be inspired to continue their pathway in their career in advanced manufacturing.
Yeah. And then Corey, you said working with Karen was, it was a really good opportunity for you, but I'm pretty sure she probably was extremely helpful. I know how she is as a colleague working with her, but on our side of things, was there anything else that you thought you may need from us so that we could do to connect you, and how was your thought of the process that you went through with us?
I mean, it was very simple and straightforward. Like I said, from the get-go, it kind of just started as that conversation. And then we really started to dive into the logistics of it. And I think Karen kind of, maybe pointed us in some directions when we weren't sure where to be looking. And obviously she's extremely supportive finding the location, very helpful with that, because we hadn't had to seek property before outside of our, main office location, let alone during a pandemic. So, there are just those complications. She was able to kind of alleviate some of the risk and the fear. And obviously, we had internal conversations about just that, the risk, especially of bringing a bunch of young people together and the potential for someone to get sick. It was just, we had to weigh the cost benefits, and, we put all the safety protocols in place, and we, moved everything around, like Brian said, to make sure that the operations would still be, able to be smooth, but that everybody's safety was the priority, which it always is at BrownMed anyway. We spent practically all of 2019 focusing on safety measures and improving safety and well-being in our Iowa manufacturing site. So this, like he said, was kind of an overlay of a lot of the things that we had already been able to do, but Karen was, integral to the success of just establishing and getting a lot of questions answered and finding some avenues that we maybe weren't aware that we could even explore. So I would say to any other, business who may be looking at this as an opportunity, consider it. Have that conversation internally, ask the questions, because you never know what's going to come out of it. And for us, it's something that we're extremely proud of to say that we were able to employ as many people as we did during such a hard time when millions of people were losing their jobs and their livelihood and therefore their homes. And, just the fallout from that could be so complicated. And so for some young people to be able to participate and add to the conversation in a constructive way through their actions was really what we ultimately got out of it. And I think if another organization even hires a handful of young people from the Innovation Pathways, just as an internship opportunity or something like that, you're giving invaluable experience to someone who, like we've said, may not have work experience before. So you can set the tone with that person so that they know what an employer will expect of them once they enter the workforce. And I think that's what employers have to do, especially as you're welcoming new and a younger generation into the workforce. And for us as a country to keep manufacturing in this country, we need young people to believe that this is a viable path. So you know, for us as a small company, you know, we only normally have around 63 permanent employees in those three locations, like I mentioned. So we're small, we're family owned, we're very agile in the way that maybe larger organizations may not be able to be. But I think if there's an opportunity, even in a larger organization, please explore it. You know, as a, and as an HR person, I know, you know, HR is usually supposed to be the, I call it fun sucker. We're the people who's supposed to come in the room and suck all the fun out of the room and say, you can't do this and you can't do that. And that's just not the attitude that we took to come up with this idea and to make it come to fruition. So I encourage other employers and other HR managers and recruiters to expose yourself to it, because it might be really good.
Thanks. I mean, guys, I had you on here longer than I thought, but I have to say it was great content. It was awesome having 7 people on with me. Like I said at the beginning, I was a little nervous, but this actually worked out really well. So thank you all for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate you taking your time to be here with us. Thanks to you guys, the students. It was great. I just want to say thanks for being here. Good luck to the 3 of you in what you do in the future. And we're excited. Maybe we'll have to do some check-ins later on down the road. Maybe Brian, we can bring the girls back, and Landon, after a year when you come back a completely different person, you maybe just pop in and say, hey, I'm ready to do my podcast again, and we'll see it. Hopefully we'll still all be here doing podcasts. But now you've done your first podcast, so you're pros at that. You can add that to your resume, so you can put it on Podcaster. Yeah, you're racking up all kinds of stuff these past couple of weeks. And this isn't even being in school. Like, this is crazy. You're getting all these accolades, right? So, yeah. So thanks, everybody. Does anybody have anything else that they want to share before we go? Or are we everybody good?
I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me. It was a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do have one question, though, for you guys, for Landon, Samantha, and Isla. So we work with a company, and they do an intrapreneur challenge. And what they do is they offer, this is for companies that are in existence that create products, and they allow them the opportunity to enter these competitions and create something that can be used for like the slow of COVID. So you guys all made the masks, right? Or the shields. Do you have any ideas, anything creative that maybe, you know, would amp it up a little bit or make it a little bit more viable for everybody out there, or any changes or adjustments that you would have done now that you've worked with it and you've been on the inside? Because obviously a lot of us haven't. We go out. I've never worn one. I know Christy has. I think she's worn one before, the shield on the front. So I haven't had the opportunity to yet. But now that you've been a part of the inner workings of it, would you make any adjustments, or how would you change it, like in your own mind, to make it better for everybody else if you could?
Reinventing the face shield, essentially. I can't think of any idea.
Yeah. So, you know, like today what's happening, Landon, like with a lot of kids, right? It's sports, you know, like they can't play sports or they can't be involved in certain activities because of these things. And then people are making, you have to wear the mask. And then there's people that have conditions because they can't wear a mask. And if there was something you could do, what would you think you might be able to do to make it better?
I mean, I'm not an engineering student. I'm not like an engineer or anything. I don't know how to do this. This seems really hard. I have to put a lot of thought into that, because like this is something off my feet.
That's all right. You can submit. You can submit your entry to me later, and I'll just take credit for it. No big deal. Samantha, what were you gonna say?
I'm not sure, but I guess like when it comes to the strap, when we staple it, I mean, some people have different like head sizes, so I don't know if maybe a way that we could adjust like something where the people could adjust the straps, or maybe like a different type of strap. So like, cause sometimes the shield, if like I do a certain movement or like something, it might fall off after a while. It starts slipping up. So something to like help it grip onto the head, like a headband does sometimes.
Cool.
I have kind of like an out there idea. So
these are the best ones. Let's hear it.
I feel like it would mainly be good for like smaller kids because it's like kind of a funner idea, but like a face shield attached to like kind of a baseball cap or something. If that could work, I feel like that would really help.
On that note, Corey, what were they doing as a result of these face shields?
Yeah, so we, like I mentioned, you know, we did some face mask and face shield production, and we did shift to making kid-sized face shields. So, you know, just because, of, like Isla, you're saying, the dimensions, and Sam, Samantha, different dimensions of adult sizes, you can only imagine, you know, a child maybe in between sizes as they're growing. So we will definitely have we have a design engineer on staff, and every time we go through product iterations, she takes that feedback and she looks at that as we're going through the designs and how we're ordering material basically to make these products. So I will let Courtney know about your ideas for any of our new products or iterations of the products. But it's important for us to know from you guys what you got out of the experience and the ways that we can make the products better, because like Haley said, you guys are the ones that were there. You were handling the product every day. So I was there a couple of times and I made face shields alongside you a couple of days, but not in the capacity that you guys did, so that you'd be able to give us that valuable feedback. So we appreciate it.
Corey, you were working at that table where they were cranking out 3,500 a day, weren't you?
I really was not. I was mostly the one who was showing up and saying, you owe me paperwork and you owe me paperwork. Just trying to get those things tied up. That was really where I was. I thrive on organization and things like that. That's just my personality. So I was really there to just make sure everybody had what they needed. And then I got, you know, the paperwork online, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to allow you to work. So
somebody has to do it, Corey. And I'm sure they were happy it was you.
Oh, I hope so.
Unbelievable job for her. Like I said, she says 15, 16 hours a day. I think it was 24 for a couple weeks.
Yeah, there were a lot of those days. Yeah, it was because, like I said, we always have such a, you know, a permanent status quo with our regular employees. And then we just grew so rapidly with the temporary workers in Iowa and then the temporary workers here in Worcester. So I mean, I still have stacks of paperwork that I'm trying to get through, you know, it's just organizing all that stuff. And, you know, here we are months later that it came through the door and it's just now needs to be organized. But it was more that we wanted to get everybody started, you know, so the fast nature of it, nothing I haven't done before in terms of recruiting.
Well, we'll be here if you need anything else, Corey. You know where to find us.
We appreciate MassMEP. We appreciate the Worcester, you know, school system and the Innovation Pathways program. All of that partnership just really was unbelievable. Everybody showed up and really did their jobs really, really well.
Yeah. Well,
ready for the next project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Exactly. Bring it on. Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you all. Today.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to see you again, students.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Bye, guys. Good luck with everything.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. See you.
Bye, Corey.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. You can subscribe to our channel on iTunes or Spotify. We'll see you next week in our space, your space, or cyberspace.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.